And when his girls got up, all they talked about was how much. He had four daughters, and all they talked about was how much. He would just tell them all the time, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're this, you're that, just constantly. And to the point they believed it. And so, now I'm not saying they're not, you know, attractive young ladies. That's not my point. My point is if you say something enough, people will believe it. Whether they say PCC is the greatest church in Ashtabula County and you keep saying it until they believe it, or they say that's a cult and they keep saying it and you'll believe it. So the tactic in the last days, the spirit of this Antichrist will be to give life to this image. Take something that isn't, when I say not real, I don't mean that this text is not real. But I do feel very strongly, and I'm not going to argue with you about it. I feel very strongly that this image is nothing more than that, an image. But he gave life to the image. He took something and made nothing, something out of nothing. Now that happens to us all the time. We are a visual generation, and so imagery sells. I mean, you ever bought something that just it looked like the greatest thing in the world and you found it was total junk? All the time. You go to Walmart and you think bargains are the way to go until it lasts you 13 days. But they sell it. They sell you an image of something. When I was a young man, probably in my early 20s, I bought a Folex. I was a young guy, I was making pretty good money. I wanted to have some drip. And it even said Rolex on it. I walked around. This one's only $20 off Amazon. I got over that imagery stuff. What I'm trying to help you understand that you've got to grasp this. Is the world is in the selling business. In the last days, half of what you experience is going to be marketed to you. Whether it be cereal, or whether it be a new car, or whether it be new clothes, or whether it just be an image of something. If I buy this, you'll look like... How many have ever walked into the store? It didn't take me long to figure it out. I like buying clothes for my wife. It's just a reality. I buy her clothes all the time. I'll walk and I'll see it. I'll see this thing on this mannequin. I'm like, man, that looks great. And then you find out they got it like doubled over, tripled over, and paper clipped in the back. Why? Because ain't nobody going to look like that in that outfit. They're selling something. And they want it to look the very best it can. And that's why people buy and return. It's marketing. I believe when the scripture says he gave power to give life to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast will even speak and cause those who do not bow down to worship the image of the beast to be put to death. He gives power to give life to that image. And so I'll leave it here. Satan is trying to sell you something that is not real. It'll never bring you fulfillment. It will never bring you closer to the Lord. It will never do anything for you other than keep you wanting more, like Pepsi. Anybody ever, I got to get off this and move on, but have you ever realized that the more pop you drink, the more you want to drink? You ever wonder why when little kids, even babies, they get their first taste, we all think it's so cute, that first piece of cake they have, and they're like, they want more. Here we are, buying into the image, that's so cute, taking pictures, all while they're getting addicted at a young age. And then the real marketers out there, figuring out what next $10 billion house they're going to buy. Because because they make that cake look so good. Oh, God, help me, Lord. I told you, this is just like all thrown together, so just give me a few minutes. Can I just tell you how annoyed I get when they try to sell you all these different type of beverages and they sell them as health drinks? This one's healthy. That one's healthy. Oh, it has zero calories. Oh, it has zero. It has zero. But what about everything else? The energy drinks. I know some of you get hurt. And you get your feelings hurt when I start talking about energy drinks. There's not one good thing about it. You can't live without it. It's an image. So I'll get off some of the, I don't want to hit home for you. I know it's supposed to be a sermon. It's supposed to just keep it nice and in general. So Satan gives life to this image, but it becomes a reality in our minds. And it'll make more sense. So where we have to be careful is political correctness and societal idealism. The image is, this is right, and this is okay, and this is appropriate, and this is proper, and then you have to accept this, and you should do this, and you can't speak against it. And so societal idealism is selling this image of what society should look like and what the world should look like, and the more they do it, the more, if we're not careful, we're buying into this image of this beast. And it becomes just that. It becomes a monster until you can't control it. I'm going to tell you where it started. It started years ago when some of you sitting in this sanctuary said, well, I don't care what they do over there as long as they don't come to my house. But you didn't realize that it was coming into your house via television, via internet, via every other way it could come into your home. And they were selling these images that this is okay, and this is normal, and this is appropriate, and this is right. And then we thought, well, as long as it's there, I'm okay. But he marketed it in such a way that we turned it on right in our own houses. There's a reason, and I don't say, I could care less if you have a television. I got rid of mine years ago. I haven't watched a television show. I couldn't remember the last time I watched a television show. I didn't do that because anybody told me I had to. I did it because I wanted to. We have Netflix. I don't know, I couldn't tell you, a couple times a year I might watch something. But at least when you stream, you can be more particular about what you watch. And that's not always good either. But our organization in the 1950s, when television came out, they took a very strong stand against television. Now, I know all the television show junkies like, oh, my God, that's bondage. It's bondage because you can't just bring all the trash into your house. It's bondage. Now, they never told you you can't, but they preached against it, and I'm glad they did. I wasn't a part of it then. I wasn't alive then. But I'm glad somebody had enough backbone in this world to take a stand against something. It takes a minute for the hand claps to get going. That's all right. Don't clap. I don't care. It don't bother me one bit. It's nothing but trash. So society believes it. It's correct. It's societal idealism. Now just hang on. I got a good message. You just got to hang on. Verse 16. In Revelations, and he compels all, the small and the great, the rich, the poor, the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Now, I'm not going to get into all that today. There's all kind of opinions and how that plays out, and that doesn't even matter to me, to be honest with you. What matters is all, small, great, rich, poor, free, bond. That's what matters. What matters is every facet of society will be touched by this image. Every person of every race of every creed, there will be no divide when it comes to this. And that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark and either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let the person who has enough insight to calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, I've had people over the years make some very dumb statements to me. A lot of dumb statements, to be honest with you. But one particular dumb statement was this. Well, Pastor, it just doesn't really matter how I live my life. Just, you know, when it comes time and the mark of the beast, I just won't take the mark. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, my God, you make this 10th grade dropout look really intelligent. If you think anybody in this world believes that you can't serve God now, you can't go to church now, you can't have a prayer life now, you always got a reason you can't fast, you always got a reason you can't pray, and if you think that anybody believes that, you'll just say, nope, my life is at risk, you're talking about chopping my head off, no, thank you, I won't take that, no, I'm a serve the Lord. Never happened. Because it will come in a way that you will not understand. It may come in a method of just, again, electronic currency, just shutting it off. They would never do that. They're doing it in other countries now. Russia is controlling every facet of society right now. They're shutting the internet off at particular times. North Korea has not allowed free internet in that country for as long as we could speak. Why? To only cause you to believe what we tell you. Now you say, but we're in America. I know, we're in America, where every news anchor, every politician, every single person in media, now every, they call them influencers and all that, everybody's got something to say, and we're just pulled all over the place. And I think about the scripture when he talks about the fivefold ministry, that they be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You're hearing everything at all hours of the day, at all times of the day. Don't know what to believe. Don't know what's right, what's not. And now we live in a world that's so suspicious of everything because you don't know what reality is and what it isn't. And now you throw AI into that mix. You can't tell if a picture's real or not, the story's real or not, where it come from, where it originated from. Have you ever noticed that we think we're so smart, but you can read something on the internet that aligns with your ideology, and then you can say, see right there, I just read it, not having a clue where the article came from. Not having a clue. But we think we're so smart. Now watch. In the last days, as this image of the beast gets perpetrated throughout our world and throughout societies, it's not hard to get us to believe things that they want us to believe. All you do is they say you can't put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. I don't know if I agree with that anymore. I've seen a lot of pigs that look real pretty in this society because they do a really good job. And with AI, you could take a pig and make it look like Cinderella if you want to. And until you kiss her, you don't have a clue what you got. Now, I'm going somewhere. Are you with me? Is everybody with me? So, the reality of the last days is it will become very easy for people to get lost in the confusion of society. It'll be very easy to get lost in these last days. And when I say lost, I mean what's real, what's not, what's right, what's wrong, what isn't, what's truth, what isn't. Very easy to get lost in all of this. Until, and they put Romans chapter 1 up there for me, if you would. I don't have it in my notes. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 20. Start in verse 20. For the invisible things of him are from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So if I were just to simply define that, I would say, I'm not going to be so dumb, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it that way, because, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be so naive that I'm going to think that there was some little atom that blew up and life just came from it. No, I am more apt to believe that God spoke and he began to put everything just where it belongs. And when I understand that if you tilt the earth just 1 degree one way or the other, you die, whether you burn up or you freeze to death. It's also perfectly laid. And I understand the moon. I don't understand how this gravity and the moon keeps the earth in line and in orbit, all that good stuff, but I know it does and I know it works. And I understand that the body is so meticulously put together that only a perfect being could have developed develop this body that we call our own. And the way it functions, and I'm just trying to throw some generals out there real quick. It's just too perfect. The trees produce oxygen. That there's the water has food in it, and the earth has food in it, and everything God did, and when you look at nature itself, and you look how some animals protect their young, you think, my God, maybe we should be animals. They do a better job of protecting their children. It's just so perfect. And so the scripture says that the invisible things of him from the creation are clearly seen. So we understand when we look at the world that God is so real. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So don't listen, God, this is the hardest statement I'm going to make. I got a good message. And I'm almost at the good part, so just hang on with me. Don't be so fickle. Now hang on with me. When they knew God, don't give me this nonsense about I know Jesus, so does the devil, so do half the people going to hell today know Jesus. But watch, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves wise, they became as fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And because of this, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Don't blame the devil for your lust. This ain't my message. Oh, I'm sorry. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. What I meant was, if you're not careful, you'll begin to serve your own ideologies and the ideologies of other men and the opinions of society more than you will the God that you say you know and serve. This is what the Lord spoke to me this morning that I'm going to give you. And if you don't write anything from this message down, I'm going to ask you to write this simple thought down. And that is this. If you don't know who you are, you will never know who you aren't. If you don't know who you are in the Lord, then you will never know who you aren't, and the world will make you who they want you to be. They will turn you into somebody you never thought you were. You will get to the point where you become somebody you never thought you would. I never saw myself doing this. I don't know where that come from. I'm so sorry. And then you got people murdering in mass and committing such horrible crimes, and they sit there at their interviews with the detectives, and they say, I don't know, something just came over me. Why? Because somewhere along the line, every man is tempted and drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Again, stop blaming the devil. And lust, when it hath conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And so when you let the lust of your flesh be fulfilled and be appeased, one day you'll become somebody you never imagined. I bet you my bottom dollar that's not very high that Hitler's mother never thought he would be somebody he turned out to be. I bet you Jeffrey Dahmer's mother always thought that you're going to be something great someday. And we could go on and on and on with a list of people who've gone down in history committing some of the most atrocious. Why? Because they became somebody they weren't, because they didn't know who they were. And in these last days, it's going to be so easy to get lost in all of this mess. And you go home, and you're like, oh, is that God or not? Or is this real or not? And I don't understand why confusion. And why does confusion settle in? God, I wish I could preach. So one of the tactics of the adversary is to confuse who or what a Christian is. If you can redefine what a Christian is, you can mess up all of Christianity. It's almost like messing up the concept of a home. Used to be a man and a mother and a father and their children. Now it's Johnny and Jane and Joan and Jack and Jimmy and let's throw everybody in, and we'll have four fathers and three mothers, and we can do this, and it's right and it's okay, and we mess up the whole process. Why? Because I think that's what's right. And because society said that's what, oh, a home is not just this. A home is what you make it. No, it's not. A home is what God made in the garden at the very beginning of creation when he put the mother and the father in the home. And watch what happens. Mom and dad mess up the home, the order that God created. Now you got a son who grows up angry. He grows up angry, never knows why he's angry. I'm just angry all the time. Maybe they should have had doctors back then to put him on some Adderall or something, huh? Gets angry one day, loses his cool because God blesses his brother's offering and not his. And he rises up in a fit of rage and takes that rock and starts bashing his brother's head in. Never would have thought that would have happened. Who would have thought that the man and the woman that were created in perfection in the garden, in perfect innocence, but when somebody slithered into their life and began to tell them there was somebody that they really weren't, and there must have been some uncertainty, I don't know where it came from or how it came, but it came in, and Satan used the opportunity, and he began to tell Eve, she's somebody that she wasn't. You'll become as God yourself. Power. Everybody wants power. Everybody wants control. And so Satan's tactic began long ago to confuse who and what a Christian is. Now, I'm not going to debate who, but I will tell you this morning. Now, I'm a proud Pentecostal believer. But I'm not Pentecostal. I'm not Methodist, I'm not Baptist, I'm not Catholic. Pentecostal is an identity. And for me, it's an important one because it kind of speaks to who I am and what I believe. But you see, even religion, because Satan has gotten himself so far wrapped up in the church, and he's got his tentacles wrapped around pulpits everywhere across this world. And because of that, we take what is meant to be just a simple identity or an explanation of what I believe on a very general and limited scale, and we make it everything. And so we begin to say, if you don't believe exactly what I believe, exactly how I am, then you're going to hell. Now, what I mean by that is the doctrine can't be changed. You must be born again. You must be born again. That's irrefutable. But he's turned the church against the church. And then after he finished perfecting his process with the churches globally, then he turned his attention on the churches individually. And then he begins to turn the churches on themselves individually. And then, you leave, and the church ain't just what it used to be. And now, the music's just not what I like. It's not what I'm used to. And I just don't believe that Brother Tyler should be up there leading worship every service like he's the only good voice in the church. And I'm just saying what people, honestly, I'm just sick and tired. It's always so hot in the church. And then it's always so cold in the church. And who's Brother Johnny? Why is he sitting up there? Why is Brother Johnny sitting there? And why is Brother Jerome the youth pastor? Certainly there are other people that are more. So he starts turning. And you know what happens? When all is said and done, you lose your identity. And you forget who you are. And he makes you somebody you're not. And he makes the church something it's not. A divided entity rather than a solid entity. Rather than people who collectively gather together for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But no, now it's about my cause and my purpose and what I think and what you think and all that good stuff. And so before it's over, you got churches, they have no power, no authority. They got a nice sign and nice pews, though. And that's important. And it's important that you tithe also, obviously. And it is, but that was sarcasm. So, these are the identities that we've taken upon ourselves. And they do have meaning and they have merit. They've caused us to forget this one simple fact, and now I'm getting to my message finally. That I'm a child of God. In all that confusion, in all that frustration, in all the busyness of life, I forgot that I'm a child of God. That I have been born again. If we allow, watch, listen, situation or circumstance, no matter what it is, a lot of people don't like some of my viewpoints, but, you know, my mom in the hospital, not doing good. I still believe that if we really believe that God is the answer to everything, and we believe that in Him is where we find our strength, we find our peace, we find our joy. During the worst and most turbulent times of your life, you need to be in church. You need to be in church. Why? Because this is where I get my strength and my, and this is where I get the word, and this is where sometimes I get my thinking corrected. This is where sometimes I get my heart right, because I've noticed I've become a little bitter and angry lately and a little frustrated, and I don't know why, and just life just seems to be overwhelming me. But when I get in the house of God and the presence of God, and the word of God is not handpicked, I don't flip through YouTube until I find the message I think I want, the food I think I want. No, but God brings what He wants to bring. Now He begins to do what he does, and the church continues to function the way the church is meant to function. I've preached this, but this is why the Corinthian church was such a mess. It all begins in the very beginning when Paul first addressed the letter. The church in his first epistle, they were divided. There was division. There was bickering. And because of that, they didn't understand the gifts of the Spirit. No one knew what prophesying was and what speaking in tongues was all about, because all the confusion, because who they were got lost when their flesh took over. And although the doors were still open every Sunday and people were still tithing and they were still giving, and we still called ourselves a Christian or a Pentecostal or Corinthian Costal or whatever they called themselves back then, it was an absolute train wreck, because they lost their identity. They forgot who they were. If I really believe I was a child of God, I wouldn't think things towards myself that I do. If I believed that my brother or my sister beside me was a child of God, I wouldn't mistreat them. Oh, God has done that to me. God has spoken those things to me over the years. Don't forget, they're my child that I've trusted to you. And so, if I don't forget, so it's easy to say I'm a child of God, but oftentimes we forget, because we get lost in the confusion of this world, of these last days. We don't really, I'm trying to get to my pinnacle. So number one, if I'm a child of God, I'm not a disappointment. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I've seen a lot of Christians, but all things never became new, because they took on an identity more than they did the identity of Christ. You're not the same person you once were, so stop associating yourself with the old man. Stop thinking like the old man thought. Stop doing the things the old man did. God gave you a new lease on life, to give you a brand new opportunity to turn your life around and to fix it. Start living that way. Don't do in secret what you wouldn't do in public. Because if you are, you're forgetting who you are and you're allowing yourself to get lost in the spirits of these last days. And you could be living knee deep in sin and come to the church and worship God because you got other voices telling you you're all right. If God loved you, he wouldn't do this. If God loved you, he wouldn't do that. God, and we're listening to all these and we forgot who we were. I'm a child of God. I am to be holy as he is holy. And so if there's any reason to live right and to live righteously, it's because I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to just say it, but I want to live it. I want to breathe it. I want to be it. Colin didn't tell you why he's frustrated. I mean, he's my son, and so I can say this. He's in church every single time there's church. But he's beating himself up because he woke up late. Because he got home from work at 6:30 in the morning. And he woke up late and wasn't here as early as he wanted to be. Because he knows who he is. And he doesn't want the world to change him. So you got to know who you are sometimes. To the degree that you don't let someone say, well, it doesn't matter. God's not going to hate you if you miss one. No, you say, I know God won't hate me, but I know who I am and I know where I belong and I know this is the body and I know that I've got to be around other believers and I know I'm not an island to myself. This is who I am. This is who I am. If you're going to serve God, you got to take on a new identity. You cannot operate with the old identity. God will help you change. Don't worry about it, but you've got to realize things will change. All things will pass away. All things will become new. Why? Because I know who I am. Number two, I'm a worshiper. Don't let the world cause you to think. Listen to me. I'm a worshiper, period. Why are you worshiping? Because I'm a child of God. John 4:23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. True worshipers. Now, this is not an imitation. I'm not putting on a show. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm not trying to get an invitation to go somewhere and preach somewhere else. No. What I'm doing is genuine. It's real. It's not a program. You don't plan worship, wave the flags and call it worship. That's not worship. That's not worship. Worship comes from me. It comes from my heart. It comes from my love and my adoration for the Lord and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I love this and I believe it. And so when I worship and it's truth. It's true worship because I know who God is and I know who I am. I worship him in spirit. My heart is right. I get everything right with him. Truth. I don't hide things. I don't conceal things from God. Why? Because the Father seeketh such to worship him. He's looking. God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But you see, societal idealism has taught us that God is a person. God is not a person. He's never been a person. He's never a part of something. He is that thing. He is. God is. He is. He told Moses when he said, when you go to Pharaoh, well, who should I say sent me? Say, I am has sent you. I am everything. I'm everything you'll ever need, everything you'll ever want, everything you'll ever need. I'm everything. I'm all of it. Just say, I am has sent me. That's it. Just I am. Just I am. Because, now come on, listen to me real quick before I move on. Don't argue with me. There's no scripture that says God is a person of the Godhead. It doesn't exist. Where'd it come from? But you know what? We've got generations of Christians that have believed that because they heard it and they've regurgitated it and couldn't even tell you where it originated. He's not a person. I defy that thinking. He's God all by himself. He said, I am the Lord God of Israel, and beside me there is no Savior. Why? Explain that. I'll explain it to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God said, I will not give my glory to another. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because the Bible says He was the expressed image of an invisible God. But you see, if I'm not careful and I start to buy into some of this stuff without understanding it and questioning it, my bishop told me, he said, you can always ask questions, you just can't question. So sometimes you just got to ask questions. Brad, you say the Bible says you can only wear gray suits. Great, can you tell me where that is? Well, I don't really know where it's at. Then shut up and stop preaching it as scripture. Listen, my door's open. I'll give you all my phone number. God does a mistake. You call me up if you disagree with anything I preach. I'll be happy to come to your house and sit down and go over the scripture with you. Had a lady once said to me, no, you're just going to try and convince me why. I said, no, I want to show you why I preach. She didn't want to hear it. She did not want to hear anything other than what she believed. I got news for you. What you believe and what I believe, if it doesn't align to what God is, we got a problem, babe. We got a problem. We do. So, I'm so far off base. You're going to have to play in a minute. So stop thinking you're a disappointment. Stop letting society determine what kind of person you are. You are a child of God. And a child of God is a worshiper. I don't worship because they tell me to. I don't worship because the music plays. I worship because I'm a worshiper. And the hour is now when the Father seeketh a true worshiper to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Number three, I'm a soldier. Why is that important? I'll tell you why. I'm not a spiritism person, and I'm not the guy that, but we understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spirits of wickedness in high places. But when you understand that, you understand that there are strongholds based off of areas and regions, whether that be, you know, the entire county of Ashtabula or this general landmass here or your own home. There are strongholds. And you have to get victory over those strongholds or nothing will ever change. You can go to anything you want to go to and tend, but you got to, those things got to be broken. I talked on Friday night. It was at midnight. It wasn't at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. It was at midnight when Samson went and took the gates off the city of the Philistines. You know why he did that? That was saying your stronghold is no longer strong. I've broken it down. He disassembled the stronghold of the adversary. When I realized that, I began to pray differently and seek differently and look differently. And I'm going to be honest with you. You take this however you want, but I also begin to walk differently. I'm not the 10th grade dropout. I'll tell you who I am. I'm a man that God has ordained and anointed to preach this gospel. He has trusted me with it. And so when I walk out there, listen to me. When I walk out there, don't look down on me. I'm not saying I'm special or important, but I am saying I'm a vessel that God uses, and so I'm going to think that way. And so when I speak to somebody out there in the world, listen, you listen to what I got to say. Why? Because I know who I am. But Satan will try to intimidate you into thinking you're not who you are. And when you're a child of God, but don't go act like a bimbo if you're a child of God either. I'm not telling you to draw swords with people, but what I am saying is when you speak with authority. And speak with confidence. Amen. Some of you people that you're still, I'm just not a good speaker. Well, then old things must not have passed away, and all things must have not have become new. There might be some things in your life that still needs transformed. Because when you realize who you are, now hold on a second, I'm gonna get there. When you realize who you are, you're not intimidated by the world. Timidity is not from God. The Bible says that when the apostles came through, it says they marveled and were amazed because of their boldness. And they took note that they were unlearned men. Listen, God does not promote off of seminary school. God doesn't call people because they have a theological degree. No, God calls people that will humble themselves and submit themselves to the will of God. And that means, Jeremiah, when I tell you what to preach, you say it. It doesn't matter if they like it or not. That's when you know. Now, it can still be tough. I'm almost done. Don't get tired on me. It can be tough. You get up here. I tell my wife all the time when I walk to the pulpit, it's like, and I know you wouldn't think this of me, but I had to do this. How do you say it? Kinsietta. They asked me to do one yesterday up in Parma, and I'd never done one before, so I was nervous, man. I'm not kidding. And so I'm like, well, I don't want to mess this thing up. And, you know, you're telling me it's all formal, and my God, they walk in. And look. I said, this is nicer than most of the weddings I've performed. And so I told her, I'm sitting beside, I said, man, I said, I'm nervous. I don't want to mess this thing up. And she, oh, you'll do fine. But I can't, I'm never good until I get to that pulpit. Once I get to the pulpit, it's like all nerves go. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because something comes on you. It's called the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And you now, God is saying, now be who I called you to be. And so I'm a soldier, number three. 2 Timothy 2 and 3 says, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Will you come play for me? I'm almost done. I'll try to not add so much context to each scripture. Endure hardness as a good soldier. That was 2 Timothy 2 and 3. You know what that means? Don't be so easily moved. Don't be so easily hurt. Don't be so easily persuaded. But endure hardness as a good soldier. The Bible compares us to soldiers. I don't know if I can say this. I'm just going to say it this way. It'll be easier. Not a soldier like World War II soldier. That kind of soldier. Young men that stormed the beaches of Normandy knowing they might not survive. Were they scared? Yeah. But they knew they had a duty. They had a calling. And they went. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Stop letting this world rock you and rattle you. The next time someone tries to intimidate you, you need to say, hey, I'm a child of God. I know who I am. Don't try to, you don't have to tell them that. Just talk to yourself. Talk to the devil. Say, I know who I am. I know who I am. And listen, your failures don't change who you are. Verse 4 of that same text, it says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I got a question for you. If you're a child of God, why are you worried about other opinions? They didn't call you. They didn't position you. We belong to the Lord. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life. I set myself free last year from Facebook. I did. I'm liberated. I'm free. Don't get on there and fight every battle that you'll never win. That's a real war of attrition right there online. You think somebody cares what you got to say? I'm going to burst your bubble. Nobody cares. You think they care about your opinion or your thought for today? Nobody cares. You might get a few amens and hellos, but nobody cares. People only care about what they care about. If it aligns with what they care about, you might even get a like. Oh, wow, you're rising up in this world. I got 10 likes on this one. I heard somebody once, they got really upset because they didn't get a lot of birthday wishes on Facebook. And then somebody else got really excited and thank you. I never knew so many people cared. They don't. They're just going with the flow. They all got a notification that it's your birthday and they went click, click, click and moved on to the next post. I hate to make some of y'all, I mean, what? You can't take your identity in your Facebook profile. Your identity must be in Jesus Christ. I don't get myself entangled in the cares of this life.
All right.
Next one. If I have fallen, don't stay down. A child of God doesn't stay down. Micah 7 and 8 says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall," newsflash, if you're a child of God, you're still not perfect. And the dumbest thing you can ever do is think you're going to be perfect. But I make mistakes. Can you put that on the screen for me? Micah 7 and 8. He said, "But when I fall," not if by chance I fall, "when I fall, I shall arise." Why? Because I'm a child of God, that's why. So when I fall, don't get too happy, devil, because I'm getting back up. And I'm getting right back in the fight. And I'm staying in the fight until the Lord takes me out or he takes his church out. That's the only thing that's going to get me out of this fight. Some of y'all, I felt in the Holy Ghost, some of y'all, you've let yourself get rattled lately for some reason. And you're emotionally getting, and you're getting, get it back in the fight. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I know who I am. And a child of God is as a good soldier, endures hardness, and I get back up. Like Micah said, don't get too excited, devil, because I will get back up and I will fight again. I sit in darkness, but the Lord shall be a light unto me. Yeah, my world might not be peachy right now, and it might be tough, and I might be going through some places I've never walked before, but guess what? I'm going to go to the midnight prayer, and I'm going to get some light from Jesus in the middle. I'll show you. Light is just not what's outside those windows, but what's in my spirit. And when he shines, he'll shine through everything and every circumstance. I'm a child of God, so when I fall, I shall arise. I'm not less than this world, nor am I in the same league as the rest of this world. Oh, you think you're holier than thou? You know what you ought to do the next time someone says that to you? Say, "I am. I am holier than thou. I'm just, you said it first. I wasn't going to say it, but you said it. I am. Because I've chosen to be holy as he is holy." Have you chosen that path yourself? So technically, I am holier than thou. I'm telling you, knock their socks off and tell them that. What, isn't that being arrogant? No, it's not being arrogant. It's being honest. I didn't say I'm perfect. I didn't say I'm this holy being. I said what you said. I confirmed that I am holier than thou. And that's the truth. I've got some people said that to me. I'm like, darn right I am. I am much holier than you. Have you seen your life lately? Why? Because I'm a child of God. You can say that. Because you choose holiness over everything else. Because you choose righteousness. It just doesn't come upon you. Listen to me. The decisions that you make in serving God, they're yours. Nobody forced you. You made them. Why? Because you knew who you were and you know who you will continue to be. And so I am a child of God. I choose to be holy as he is holy. And in some cases, if you ask me, yes, I am holier than thou. I'm not better. I'm just holier because I choose it. 1 Peter 2 and 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I had a girl years ago when I was still at the church in Parma. I was younger. She looked at me one day and she goes, "You know, you're really a peculiar person." Now, if I'd have known the scripture then as good as I do now, I'd have been like, "You're darn right I am. Yes, I am. I don't know what you mean by that, but I really don't care. That you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, listen. If I'm a child of God, I'm trying to hurry. You okay? Just give me a minute. If I'm a child of God, then forget the mandate. I have a desire to show forth the praises of him who's called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I have a desire to tell the world what Jesus has done in my life. Listen to me. We're afraid to tell the world what Jesus has done. You know why? Because they'll find your weaknesses and try and exploit them and pick them apart. But see, when you know who you are, when you don't get lost in these last days and you still know who you are, you can go ahead and say whatever you want to say. I didn't say I was perfect, but I still know who I am. And so, I got a ways to go. Yep, I'm a work in progress. Yep, thank the Lord, his mercy and his grace is, though, you know, that same mercy and grace you preach about on Facebook. Yeah, it's really true. Even for me. Oh my God, how about that? I'm a chosen generation. Listen to me. I preached a couple Wednesdays ago. I wish you'd go back and listen to it, those of you who don't come on Wednesdays. I'm being serious. I'm not being mean. Go back online and get it. About, what was the title of it? Serving Your Generation. It's biblical. I am a chosen. I'm chosen for this day. There will come a time God will choose somebody else in my stead, because should the Lord tarry, the world will change. He'll need a fresh vision, fresh ideas, a fresh face. Maybe somebody taller and better looking next time. Told my wife, I said, that's why I try and buy nice jackets. I need something to compensate for everything else. And so I told her. I do like this jacket too. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Don't rob yourself of your promise. If you're a child of God, you know where you're headed. You know what your desire is. Don't diminish yourself and say, I'm not worthy. Thank God he's into adoption. I have a message I've wanted to preach. You say, we work, but we're all foster children. I was a foster child. Literally. Now I am spiritually. I'm all right with that. That don't bother me. God gave me an identity. Whereas once I didn't know who I was, now I'm sure who I am. And because of who I am, that tells me, listen to me, I'm finishing, but it tells me I don't do certain things not because a church tells me I can't. I do them because I know who I am. I don't give because the church says you got to give. I give because I know who I am. Because I'm a part of this. I believe in it. I love it with every part of my being. I got to hurry. Two more. Next, if you're a child of God, you don't belong to this world. Listen to me. Get used to feeling like you don't fit in, because you don't. You know why you don't fit in? It's not because something's wrong with you. It's not because those people are more important than you. You don't fit in because I'm not you. I'm a child of God. I've chosen a different path. Stop trying to fit in. What fellowship hath light with darkness? There is none. I am crucified, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I know who I am. And when I know who I am, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to crucify this old man and some of these old desires so I can be who he's called me to be. Last, Satan tries to keep us on the fence, to rob us of our identity. Laodicean church, when John the Revelator wrote the letter, he said, I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're not hot or cold and you're lukewarm, he said, I will spit you out of my mouth. Why? Because God has little tolerance for those who don't know who they are. He says, if you're gonna believe in me, If you're gonna receive my spirit, if you're gonna live this life, then you should know who you are. And you should live like who you are. If you're going to be lost and you say, I'm lost and I know where I'm going and nothing I can do, then do that. It's not what God wants, but he's saying, I'd rather you know. But don't be on the fence. Don't be on the fence. Don't be hot this week, cold in 2 weeks, and then hot for a couple more weeks. Know who you are. Matthew 6 and 24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I'm trying to help you today so you're not lost in these last days. Not lost as far as eternity, just lost in confusion, lost in wondering. Make a decision today if you haven't yet. And your decision might pain me, because you might say, no, okay, well, it's not me. And I won't like it, but I can't control it because it's your decision. But if you are, then just say, I'm going to get all in. I'm jumping all in. I'm going all in. I'm not doing back and forth stuff anymore. I'm not church hopping. I'm all in. Why? Because I know who I am. And if I know who I am, you know what that means? I'm finished. That means that I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep showing up through everything. Whether I fail, whether my world's falling apart, whether everything is great, whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor, whatever. Now, I was going to say sick, but I mean, obviously if you're dying, you know, not literally, that's not a good terminology to use either. I'm so sorry. If you feel like you're dying, you know, stay home. But don't stay there too long. I know who I am. Don't let people change your opinion of who you are. Don't let anybody, well, if you're the kind of preacher, then I don't want to be. Oh, okay, that's your opinion. Fine, move on. Bye, Felicia. I love you, but don't let anybody change who you are. And if you'll do that, you will not be a wanderer in these last days. You'll not be confused. I'm trying to quit. For me, because I made the decision some time ago, it's not a question. I don't wake up on Sunday, there is no question. There's zero question. I'm not saying this to criticize anybody else. I'm just saying, for me, there's no question who I am and where I will be. There's no question. When sin comes showing its head in my life, and Satan takes that little apple, which really wasn't an apple, at least we don't know for sure, but we're just using that for imagery. And he dangles it in my face. He's, oh, this is so good. It's so good because sin always looks so good. Sin never shows its ugly face. It always presents itself as something else, as an image. And he gives life to the image. And before you know it, he gave it so much life, you bought into it. And before it's all said and done, you're dying. You don't know what happened to your walk with God. You don't know where it all went. I used to be so on fire. So I just want some people. I want some people. Would you stand? Because if you'll stand, I can hurry. Wherever you are, I'm asking you today, will you renew or make a new pledge and commitment in the Lord that, God, I'm going to give you everything I've got. If you do, Satan will always come against you. He'll try to discourage you, to defeat you, to wear you out. Daniel said he was there to wear out the saints of the Most High God. So that's why if I'm tired, I'm coming. Why? Because you're not going to change who I am. You're not going to wear me out and wear me down. I am in this thing. I know who I am. I know who I want to be. And I will pursue that with everything that I've got. I want to open this altar and I want to ask you to come. If at all God has spoken to your heart, I'm going to ask you just to come and make your way forward. And don't kneel, if you would. We're not going to come down. I won't let people slap you on the forehead. Don't worry. Let somebody else tell you what you got to do to look pretty. Yeah, I'm talking to Brandon too. I'm just kidding, Brandon. You said you want to look pretty. Don't let somebody else tell you what you got to do to be godly. Godly people sometimes have weaknesses. Godly people make mistakes. Godly people fall short. But in the end, godly people know who they are. And rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. I want to ask you to throw your hands in the air. Renew your commitment to the Lord right now, if you would. Make a new commitment if you need to. Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. I want to give my life to you. I want to give my heart to you. I want to give my soul to you. Or it might look more like this. God, I know I made a promise years ago, and I've not kept that promise. But today, I'm going to renew that pledge. And if you will help me, if you will help me, if you will give me the courage and the strength that I need, God, I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. Some of you, don't you let people talk into your head and cause you to question who you are and where you are. I feel that in the Holy Ghost to say to somebody, don't you let them confuse you and bring confusion into your life. I will not be lost in these last days. I will not be lost. I will be determined. I will be anchored. My feet will be steadfast. And I will continue in the doctrine according to the scripture in the ways of the Lord. I will love him. I will be a true worshiper. I will get up when I fall. I will show forth the praises of him who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not out of this thing. I'm in it more than ever.
I just want to see you at your feet.
Hallelujah.
I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. It's Jesus, you don't owe me anything. And more than anything that you can do,
don't let your health battles cause you to believe that God has given up on you. God never gives up. God never gives up. He never gives up. There's a reason, and he knows. Hallelujah.
I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never sang another song and take me back to where we started, and I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry,
hey,
when I
hallelujah.
Come with my agenda, I'm sorry.
I'm allowed to worship and be excited because I know who I am. I definitely know who he is. Hallelujah.
Me back to
I want a deeper understanding
started.
Of you, Jesus.
I open hallelujah. My heart
glory, glory, glory.
To you. I'm caught up in holy moment I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. It's Jesus, you don't owe me anything. It's more than anything that you can do. I just want you. Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just want you. I just want you, nothing else. Nothing else will do, and I just want you, nothing else, nothing else will do, and I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else. And I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. And I'm not here for blessings. It's Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just want you. I'm caught up in your presence. And I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. It's Jesus, you don't owe me anything.
hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the word that we heard today. I pray, Lord, that we leave this place with this word in our heart and in our minds. God, there are those that are still reaching out and praying, and I pray, Lord, that you would touch those. But God, those that are leaving today, Lord, to go on to do whatever they have to do today, I pray, Lord, that you would be with them, be with their families, be with their homes, God. Be with us in Ashtabula and be with us in Conneaut. And I pray, Lord, that we can have a great time with you, Lord, in Ashtabula and in Conneaut. But Lord, bless those, God, Lord, that can't make it to those services. God, we praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just be mindful for those that are still praying, but you are dismissed in Jesus' name.